This evening, I want to begin where we ended this morning. I want to go back again to the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter of John. And I want to begin with verse number 32. We use that as a launching pad this morning for our lesson title and our lesson theme. This morning we talked about Jesus saying, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Tonight we want to kick off of that, and we want to say that the Son of Man must be lifted up, or how can we lift the Son of Man up? Just to refresh your memories, we are going to read from John chapter 12, and I will begin reading with verse number 32, about three, four verses here. John chapter 12, beginning with verse number 32. If you found it, say amen. The Bible says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And the people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abided forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up?" And Jesus says, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus and departed. And as a comic relief statement, it says, "And he did not hide himself from them." Jesus, for some time during his ministry, would share great truths with the multitude. And when the multitude would become upset with some of the things that he would say, he would disappear into the crowd. John says that Jesus just left. This time he did not even try to hide himself from them. Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." This morning we talked about the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. And he tells Nicodemus that he must be lifted up. The question then is, how do we lift Jesus up? How do we lift him up? And how do we know that we are lifting up our Savior? I'd like to direct your hearts and minds to the first gospel sermon that was preached, Acts chapter 2. And in that sermon, some interesting things are going to happen to show that the light of the gospel is so important. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 32, the Bible says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know, or surely know, that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified." And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles who were preaching this sermon, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." How do we lift up Jesus? Well, we lift him up by listening to his word and by having faith in his word. That word is called the gospel. Paul talks about that gospel in Romans chapter 1 in verse number 16, where he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, For it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. Jesus tells us that we need to realize that he is the light of the world, and that for just a little while, we're going to have light with us. We're going to have understanding with us. And he says, while it is light, believe in the light that you may be the children of light. And these things Jesus would speak unto them. How do we lift him up? Well, we lift up Jesus by walking in the light. And when we walk in the light, three things are going to happen according to Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 37 and following. Men are going to become confused. And confused people will see the light in you. They were confused about the sermon that Peter preached, about them taking with wicked hands and crucifying the Son of God. And so they says, men and brethren, what shall we do? It's interesting to note that when they asked what they must do, they came to the source of light, which was Peter and the other apostles who were preaching on that day. And they asked them, they said, in essence, we're confused. We don't fully understand this. Can you help us with this? Can you shed some light on this light? Men will ask you of a reason of the hope that is within you when they see the light in you. Light being not just a substance that's bright, but light being something different from that which is in the world. We as a people of God are called to be different. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, when he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he says that you are the light of the world. And he says that a light should be out where others can see us. We don't take a lantern and we hide on the bushel. We allow that light to be seen. When men see that light, it should confuse them. The only way the world is going to know that the people of God are different, that the church is right, is when they see us, they've got to become confused. Now, I know that sounds a little funny, but I want you to understand, we've got to be different from everything else they see in the world. And when they see us, they need to see something different. And then they will be confused like they were on the day of Pentecost, and they will come asking, how can I get this peace? How can I get this understanding? How can I get the salvation that you speak of? I can hear them now in verse 37 of Acts 2. Men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer was simple. The light that he shed upon them was so simple. He simply said, repent and be baptized. Some of you? No, all of you. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I recall in Acts chapter 8, a story of a preacher, gospel preacher named Philip. He's carrying on a gospel meeting. And he gets carried away into the wilderness to be with one individual. Someone said to me this morning, said, there are several gospel preachers, there are several gospel sermons, there are several things that are going on in Scripture where only one person receives the benefit of that lesson. It just tells me over and over again the power of a one-on-one Bible study. Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night? It was just one man, Jesus and Nicodemus. Yet Jesus preached and proclaimed unto that one man. Philip goes into the wilderness and he meets the Ethiopian eunuch who's traveling back to Ethiopia after having come to Jerusalem for to worship. And he climbs up in the chariot and he begins at the same scripture and proclaims unto him Jesus. Was it a gospel meeting with 300, 400, 500 people? No, it was just that one man. And so the importance of Scripture is to let us know that our lives should be lived in such a way that when men see us, they not necessarily scratch their head, but they wonder, what is it about this person? What is it about this church? What is it about this gospel that is different? The light will cause confused men to look to the light for an answer. Also in that verse, the light will cause converted individuals to not only see the light in you, but to strive to have that light unto you. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35 tells us that we're to take heed, therefore, unto ourselves, that the light that is in us be not darkened, that people see our, can I say, see your good without seeing your bad? Can I say, see that which is holy and wholesome and positive without seeing that which is negative and untrue and harmful? The light that is in us needs to be pure light, holy light, the light of God's Son, and not that light that can be concerned as darkness. Confused people will want to see the light. Converted people will need to see more light. That's why it's so important that a child of God live an upright life. Because there's always, as they used to say to parents who have little children, there's always somebody watching you. And there's always somebody who will imitate your conduct, your behavior, your thought process. Make sure that you are demonstrating holiness and wholesomeness in everything that you do. Finally, those who are confused by the light and are converted by the light will be committed by the light they see in you. I probably said it before, and you don't mind, I'd like to say it again. I think the one thing that has caused me to have a degree of faithfulness is to watch the older members of the congregation, those that we know that are struggling with health problems and financial problems and who knows what's going on in their lives, dealing with family and things like that. Yet these individuals will find themselves in the house of the Lord, in the worship assembly, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. They may hobble in, but they'll have a little cut in their strut, a little glide in their stride when they're leaving. But they will make sure that they will come to worship services every Sunday, regardless of the weather, regardless of how close it is to payday, regardless of who's in town, regardless of what's going on in town. Older, sanctified, spiritual members of the body of Christ will be in the worship services. They are committed, and they are committed to shed their light to the whole congregation, to be an example to everyone, to the young as well as to the old. The Bible says this: neither do men hide light a candle and put it on a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick that it may give light unto all the house. It is imperative for us to realize just how valuable our light is. Don't hide your light. Don't shun your light. I talk to people all the time, and they will tell you about their church and their pastor. Did I say that? They'll tell you about all the things that's going on in their lives, and we will listen quietly, but we will not project and proclaim our congregation. We will not project and proclaim our Jesus and our salvation. We need to let the light that is in us allow others to see the difference or the glory that is in us. How do we lift Jesus up? I've got three ways that we can lift Jesus up. And these ways are ways that we can lift Jesus up every day of our lives. First one is, let's lift Jesus up in spirit. When we talk about our worship, we talk about worship that is in spirit and in truth. A lot of times when we think about spirit, though, we think about singing. We think about raising our voice and just, you know, we're just singing praises to God. The Hebrew writer says this in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 12. He says, I will declare thy name unto thy brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I sing praises unto you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14, Paul is talking about a lot of the things that needed to be instructed in Scripture. And he says, I was seeing with the spirit, and I was seeing with the understanding also. He goes on to say, I pray with the spirit, and I pray with the understanding also. When it comes to lifting Jesus up, it has a lot to do with our spirit. Our spirit has to do with our actions and with our understanding. When we come together as a people of God, as the church of God, we come together as a knowledgeable people, having been forgiven by the blood of Jesus, and we come lifting up Jesus, or lifting up the name of Jesus. Ephesians 5:19 says this, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Peter says this, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, we ought to sing. We ought to have the spirit of love and togetherness and unity. And one way to lift Jesus up is to lift him up with our singing. In the church, we are known for our singing. People will come in from all over the world and they'll hear us singing this. I don't see no instruments. I don't hear no drums. I don't hear no piano. All I hear is voices. I hear those beautiful sopranos singing. I hear those altos blending in. I hear those tenors giving a little harmony. I hear the bass bringing in the bottom. I hear that beautiful singing in the church. Why? Because we're singing with the spirit and with the understanding. And we're singing, and we're giving praise and honor to Almighty God. The first way that we lift God up is we lift him up in our spirit. And our spirit ought to be a spirit of not only togetherness, but of affectionateness. We need to love and care for one another. Romans 12:10, Paul says, be kindly affectionate one for another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. The spirit of worship is love. We should realize that we all are creation and creatures of God. And because of that, we should love one another and nurture one another and affectionately give companionship one to another. That's how we raise Jesus up in the spirit, with our attitude of gratitude one for another. So we lift Jesus up, and we lift him up during worship. We lift him up during class time. We lift him up during our times, not only in the community, at work, and everywhere we are. We're going to lift him up in the spirit, by the spirit of our attitude, and the spirit of our humbleness, and the spirit of our love together one with another. But not only do we lift one another up in spirit, but we lift one another up in service. Do you not know that one great part of being a child of God is being a disciple, is being someone that serves, learns how to serve, and effectively will serve? In Hebrews chapter 10, around about verse 25, we hear about this very important verse. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but we exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. The people of God have within their heart a desire to serve, to serve one another. Jesus said it so easy. He says, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. When I was in prison or in jail, you came and visited me. What are you doing? You're being disciples that learn how to serve. And we're serving one another. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, we are given to hospitality. We lift Jesus up in our service when we serve. Not only when we serve, but when we serve others by being an example or sharing with them how they too can be like us and how they too can serve. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 says this, let him that is taught in word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. We are to share the good word one with another. And we serve one another by opening up the books and teaching them or giving them an understanding of the things that are found within the word of God. And then Peter shines in and says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder, and yea, all of you be subject one to another. One way that we lift up Jesus is we submit ourselves one to another. We encourage one another. We lift one another up. We be examples one to another. And then finally, not only do we lift up Jesus in our spirit and we lift up Jesus in our service, but we lift up Jesus, and I want you to get this. I want you to get this one. We lift up Jesus in our study. David said this, Lord, I will hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And he goes another place and he says, I want you to know that your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. That which we need to inspire us, to inform us, to encourage us, is all found within the word of God. Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, able to rightly divide the word of truth. In Bible study, it will lift us up and bring us closer to God. It will allow us to understand what it is that God wants to share with us, what God wants to show us, how God wants to spiritualize us or lift us up. And so we're able to understand God, to understand God's word, to understand God's will, to understand God's way when we read the Bible. But not just read. Paul is telling Timothy, he says, study. Make application to that which you're reading. Read for an understanding. Read for an appreciation. Read that you may be able to hide his word in your heart. That means to memorize it. Read or study the word of God that you may be a better person. Again, Matthew 5, we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about us being the light of the world. He also says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its favor, wherewith shall it be salted? Now, when we think about what is being said here, you're the salt of the world. Hold up. On our counter at home, we've got two main spices. One is salt. Y'all know where I'm going. And the other is pepper. And these two things are seasoning to enhance and bring out the very best in whatever it is that we're cooking. Jesus says, you are that enhancing element that makes the earth better, that makes people on earth better, that living on this earth better. He says, you are the salt of the earth. And then he without stopping, he says, but if the salt has lost its savor, if your seasoning, well, it's not up to par. I don't know if you got a little moisture in there and it done caked up in the bottle and it won't come out. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, your salt is not salty enough. It doesn't have any savor in it. He says, wherewith then shall it be salted? Well, let me tell you, we can be resalted by going back to the word. We can study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Why is study so important? Because Paul says this in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 16, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable to season you, to salt you, to return you back to that savor that you so need. It's filled with doctrine, with reproof, with correction. It's filled with instruction and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We lift Jesus up in spirit. Yes, come out and worship and sing. When you're at home, sing. Lift up the name of Jesus. Lift him up to the hills. Lift him up among all those that you know. Lift him up in your heart and your mind. Lift him up in spirit. That has to do with your singing and with your sayings and your attitude. Lift up Jesus. But lift him up in your service. We left here earlier today, and we went back to East Ridge. They're having Victory Sunday. And between the worship services, they will have a combined meal. In order to have a meal or a fellowship meal of this magnitude, all cooks on deck. Everybody has to bring a covered dish. And if you're cooking greens and you cook greens better than anybody else, bring your greens, girl. If you got fried chicken, whatever it is that you're fixing, everybody brings a little something. When it comes to service, it's so important to realize, yes, we got our preachers who are preaching. We got our song leaders who are leading us in song. We've got our elders who are taking care of the collection in the communion. But do you know that every member of the body of the Christ serves in worship? We all have an active part of what we can do in worship services. That's why it's so important that we sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. We need every voice. There's an old song that I learned years ago. Lift every voice and sing. Let earth and heaven ring. We need to lift up our voices and sing unto the Lord. In worship, we serve by singing, by reading along, by studying along. This is how we serve. But in other aspects of worship, fellowship meals, or if we have to do a repast after a funeral, whatever it is, there's always room for everyone to find a place to serve. And we lift up Jesus when we serve. Serve one another and serve others around us. In spirit, in service, and most of all, in Bible study. God's word says that Jesus wants to draw us to him. He said it twice. He said it to his disciples, and he said it to Nicodemus. He says, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." He draws us together that we can sing. I think I mentioned it to Brother Sam this morning. One of the greatest gifts that God could give us was ears to hear his word in song. We're filled with the Spirit by making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. God wants us to come before his presence with singing. God wants us to come before his presence in service. And God does not want his people, I mean this kindly, to be ignorant. Now that's one of Paul's statements. I wouldn't have you ignorant, brother. God wants us to be informed. And everything that we need to know that pertains to life and godliness can be found in the book called the Bible. All scripture, from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation 22. How do we lift Jesus up? Well, we lift him up in spirit. We lift him up in our service. And yes, we lift him up in our study. And when we do these things, can I say on Sunday, give me a little bit on Monday? How about let's try it on Tuesday? Wednesday's a good day. Thursday, Friday, and yea, even Saturday is a good day to lift up Jesus in spirit, in service, and in our study. I'm glad that as a body of Christ, we know the importance of these things. That our relationship with God may be 100, that it may be complete, that our lives may be full, that our lives may be fairly furnished unto every good work, because we've got a song in our heart about Jesus, Because we've got something that we feel good about doing in service to the Lord, and that we study, that we may be approved unto God, that we may have the favor of God, and that when the Lord returns, he's going to come back to receive us and give us a special place designed for those who have previously lifted up his Son. Are you a child of God? Have you heard his words? Do you believe it? Have you repented of your sins? With your mouth, have you confessed your faith in Jesus Christ? And have you been baptized in water for the remission of sins? If not, then why not? If you're here and you haven't been lifting up Jesus like you should, we need to. The best way that we're going to make it from life to glory is to lift up Jesus. Because Jesus says, if you will, I'll help. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me, and God will approve of you. I don't know what your needs are, but you know, and God knows. Why don't you come?